we're going to have in this hall. Tony just mentioned that, it's only a building, you know. It's more about the people, yes. But I guess it's a lot of memories here. A lot of good memories here. I wonder if you remember when you first attend Sunday school in here. Recently, I have a chance to attend one of the, it's a couple, obviously now. They got married recently. And the first encounter was here, or the first time to show their love feelings, it's here. How amazing. So, it's a great day to give thanks to our Lord that we have used this hall for many, many years, 20-something years. And we have a lot of good memories here. So, I hope that we can continue that chat after the service, because we're going to have a Thanksgiving luncheon, okay? And I'm sure that will bring a lot of joy. So, back to the sermon. Thanksgiving. We just talk about, give thanks to God that He allow us to use this hall for that many, many years, and a lot of bring us a lot of good memories. So it's from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. Now the 1 Thessalonians letter of Paul, obviously writing to the Thessalonian church, right? And Paul probably spent around about, some time, maybe a few weeks to a month, in Thessalonica and preaching to the Thessalonians. And as a result of that, some people actually responded and get converted and they become Christians. So a church was set up there. However, the Jews in Thessalonica was a bit jealous about all that, and they rounded up a mob and started a riot in the city. So the Thessalonian church at that time was under a lot of persecution. So Paul wrote this letter to encourage them to persevere in their faith despite of all the persecution, all the bad things that's happening around them. In this letter, in the earlier part, you can see how Paul's love is for the Thessalonian church. And his desire is for the church to continue their faith journey in love, in hope, and holding on to their faith. So the first verse, so that sets the context, right? So this is how this, the Bible verse we just read comes from this chapter of the 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. So chapter 5, verse 16, rejoice always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Paul is a very practical person. He knows the Thessalonians are undergoing a lot of persecutions and problems inside and outside the church. So they give this final, this is the end of the chapter. This is the final instructions for the Thessalonians. Rejoice always. Is that easy? Can you rejoice always? Ask yourself. Not easy. Why? A lot of the time, we tend to hold on to our own ways of life or our own ways of thought, and that will end up leading us down a path that we're thinking a certain way, and we don't accept other people's way of thinking or opinions or things like that. I'll do a little test with you. Tell me what you see. What's the shape of this thing? This is a toy I borrowed from Isla. What do you see? It's a circle, right? Okay. What do you see now? It's a square. But it's the same thing. Why? Because you're looking at different angles. Right? So if you're looking at different angles, things will be different. Very simple truth. So a lot of the time we tend to hold a grudge against maybe our friends or our colleagues or our classmates because they hold a different opinion to us. And you're not happy. And you can't rejoice. Okay? So, simple thing. Go to the other side and have a look. They're not wrong. They're seeing a square. But you're looking from this side, you're seeing a circle. So neither of you, you're not wrong, but your friend's not wrong. So you need to go to the other side and have a look. It's so important that we don't slip into this me culture. I think here, I mean, the world around us now is all about me. I want to do this. I want to achieve that. I want to grab that one. I want to buy this. I want to own this. To rejoice always, you have to get out of this me culture. If you're still stuck in this me culture, you can never, never rejoice always. The most important thing to rejoice always as a Christian is because we have Christ in our lives. Jesus has repaired the relationship. If you look at the cross, it's like a vertical thing and a horizontal thing, right? Jesus has repaired the relationship between God and us. Because of our sins, we are separated from God. Okay? We cannot communicate with God. But because through Jesus Christ's work on the cross, His blood has washed away all our sins, we can be united to God again. So God repair that or restore that relationship between God and us. Jesus Christ did that. What's that horizontal bar on the cross? What's that symbolize? Through Christ's work on us, we can repair our broken relationship with our friends, with our relatives, with whoever that I have a grudge with. This forms really the basis of how a Christian can rejoice always. Because, frankly speaking, our natural way of doing things is, nope. If he wrongs me, I won't talk to him, you know. And I won't, you know, if he has a different opinion to me, I won't even talk to him. I'll go and join something else. I'm not going to ring him. I'll delete him from the WhatsApp group. Yes, so because of what Christ has done on the cross, he forgave all our sins. Because he forgave all our sins, we can forgive what our friends have wronged us. Or we can forgive what's happened that caused the broken in relationship. So, rejoice always. Okay? But to rejoice always, you have to always remember Christ's work on the cross for you. It is because of that work we can have, we can talk to our God, our Father God, directly. It is, and Christ repaired the relationship. It is because of Christ's work on the cross, we can repair that broken relationship between our friends, our relatives, or our colleagues. It is by looking through the eyes of God that we can rejoice always. Have you been looking through the eyes of God in every situation? It's not easy. You have to search God's will, and you have to stay close to God, and you have to allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, to mold you. So rejoice always. It's not based on our circumstances. It's based on Christ's work on the cross. Pray continually. Oh, wait, can you go the next slide? Where did I put it? Sorry. So we can rejoice because of what Christ has done on the cross and of our hope of eternal fellowship with God. We can rejoice always because of that, not because we have a PhD in theology, not because you have won or you have been promoted to a very high position in the company, not because you have achieved 99.9 marks in your ADA score. Okay? Because these are all temporal. These things only give you joy for a very short time. Only remembering the work of Christ on the cross and see the world through the eyes of God. My tongues are tired. See the world through the eyes of God, that you can rejoice always. Pray continually. Is it tough? Not easy, again. Pray continually. It's not non-stop, or you can't pray non-stop, but persistent in praying to God and keeping that channel of communication always patent. I always use an example as like you got like a wired phone, or you get your internet connected to God. you can always talk to God. You can listen to God. You can actually even grumble to God. Pray continually. God loves us to talk to Him directly, because our God is a Father God. He loves us. He knows how many hair in our head before even when we're in the mother's womb. He reached out for us. He came to look for us. We pray as we pray. So don't just ask. Okay? Because that's probably not the best way to pray. So with our prayer, it can be another sermon on it, just on prayer. But in simple words, in our prayers, we need to, number one, praise God, address who He is and who we are. Because as we pray, we should know what our position is and who God is. God is the creator of everything, of the universe, not just one, but many, many universes. He is also the author of our history. So He's a God of the past. What happens in the past? What happens now? What happens in the future? It's all under His hands. He's sovereign. He's all-knowing, all-powerful, always present. And we are His created, one of His created creature. Yet He loves us. He loves us so much that He created us in His own image. And because He knows us so well, He knows we have that sin, that original sin in us, that He has prepared a salvation plan for us. Our original sin is coming from Adam's, who ate the apple or the fruit from the tree of knowledge. And God has prepared a salvation plan for us. So that's why it's so important that we need to pray to Him continually. Because God desires us to come to Him, to depend on Him in all situations. So as we pray, most important thing is acknowledge who God is and know who we are. And number two is to really have that humility. Humble yourself as we pray. And have that full dependence on God. As we pray, don't just pray for yourself. Pray for others. Pray for your friends who's in trouble. Pray for your neighbors who just had a car accident, maybe. Pray for your colleagues who has maybe some illness. Pray for our country. We're going for election. Pray that we have a good, upright leader. Pray for the world. Look at the world, what a mess we have in the world at the moment. All these trade wars, and the war in Gaza, war in Ukraine. Pray for all that. And as this, you can pray, you know, on your own, but also corporate praying. If you're not very, you know, confident in your praying, I would suggest you to join the prayer meeting. Actually, you can learn. You can learn how to pray from some of your more mature Christian brothers and sisters. And learn how to pray with your heart. I think that's a very, very important. So we pray not just to mumble and talk about things in our mind, from our mind. We have to pray from the heart. Let the Spirit drive us. Let the Spirit inspire us as we pray. He will give you the words. He will tell you what to pray for. As we pray, we praise God first, who He is, and then we can put in our request, or pray, God, please, you know, help me to do this or do that. And then we should have a little quiet time. We should listen. We should listen to that little voice of God that talks to us again. So don't just ask as we pray. Praise God for who He is. Worship Him. Submit our prayer request. And then have a little quiet time just to listen to this little tiny voice from the Spirit or from God Himself. And last but not least, thanksgiving. Your prayer should be rounded up with thanksgiving. If you have problem doing the last bit, thanksgiving, you're in the right place today, because that's what we're going to talk about, thanksgiving. Okay? So it's so important that we give thanks in all circumstances. That's what Paul's instruction for the Thessalonian church. Three commands. Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. And to pray continually is to reach out to God and acknowledge that He is sovereign. And we can depend on Him in all situations. Pray continually is to reach out to God and acknowledge He is that Creator, that sovereign God, that we can fully depend on Him in all situations. Now comes to the third command. Give thanks in all circumstances. Ooh. Easy? Tough? Well, giving thanks is showing gratitude for the things that God has done for us. It's so easy to give thanks when everything's going smoothly. Everything's going our way, right? Have you tried giving thanks when things doesn't go your way? There are things that you are, you don't want it to happen, or it's something that is not very pleasant. Maybe an illness, maybe you lost one of your good friends, maybe you're not doing well in certain aspect of your life. It's not easy. It is not easy to give thanks when things doesn't go our way. But remember one thing. God's hand is at work at all times. Sometimes we don't understand why things happen that way. And that's why we have a negative feeling. And that's why we don't have that thankful heart to give thanks to God. Again, giving thanks is to actually to be able to see God's grace and God's love that showered on us. And also seeing through God's eyes as well, seeing things. Then you know that even for some not so good things, it can turn out to be a blessing. I'll give a very, very simple example. It's how we're losing rental hall. Okay? So it was a month ago? Was it a month ago, Tony? Roughly? A bit more. A month and a little bit ago, we got a phone call from the council and say, hey, you guys won't be able to use the rental hall in 2 months' time. I was like, ooh, no good, you know? Because imagine the whole church is already quite cramped. We're running out of, you know, spaces. But, yeah, and the loss of rental hall is a big impact to the church and to the ministries. So it's definitely a bad thing to us, okay? Not, even worse is, a week later, we got another phone call and said, oh, sorry, the government has changed their mind. You can only use it until the end of March. I said, ooh. So it's only a month from then when we received the phone call. So all the leaders were a little bit, you know, nervous and all get together and pray and ask for God's direction and stuff like that. So we have two plans came up. Okay, one is, okay, we're going to make the services like staggering. So the English service will go early in the morning, 9 o'clock or 9:30. And then the Chinese service will be at probably 11, whatever, okay? And so that's one suggestion. Another suggestion we'll need to probably find some place where we can either house the Chinese congregation or house us or move us there. Okay? So leaders have, you know, like they form two groups. Okay, one is called the short-term venue group, and then another group is called a long-term venue group. And they have, you know, meetings and prayer time together. And we actually located two places that actually is suitable for us to relocate. And in during that process, I think some of the leaders have that desire from God, or have that, how would I say it, vision from God, that, you know, God don't just take away rental hall for no reasons. So he took away rental hall from us. There must be a reason for it. And we pray, and all the leaders come to a consensus that, yes, we lost rental hall. It's most likely because God wants us to move, to get out of our comfort zone, to do something that pleases him. So instead of, so we take away, get rid of that staggering surface suggestion, okay? That option, we took it away, because that will only be like we're going to probably just stay in a very cramped place, and then everyone is, you know, like not the best way to run the ministry anyway. Because like, how can you invite some new brothers and sisters to your service when it starts at 9 or 9:30 on a Sunday morning? We did that before, and we couldn't. Even if we can, we invited someone came, they probably came once, twice, and that's it. You know, it's so hard to come at 9 o'clock or 9:30 in the morning. So we get rid of that idea, and we focus on moving out, okay? And then we have two options. One is deacon, one is, it's called the neighborhood house in Surrey Hill. It's actually quite a nice place. It's very pleasant. I went there. It's quite warm. It's similar to the size here. Chris was there. Yes. Tony was there. Did you go? No, not you. Sorry. Reverend Colin. I went with Reverend Colin and Stephen, Elder Stephen. And it was quite nice place, but does it serve the purpose of reaching out? No. So that's a nice place to put the English service in and just enjoying ourselves there. But going to deacon is actually the vision that God gave us. We're going to go there, reach out to people there, and also we have plenty of room to expand. We're going to that lecture theater that seats 195 or 200 roughly. Yeah. So we've got plenty of room to expand, and even the equipments are much better. We have much nicer PA system, much nicer projectors, and oh, it's quite a nice place. So we're going to move next week. Okay, there's a bit of nerve, still a bit of nerve-wracking moments, but I'm sure if that is God's will, we don't have to worry, because he calls and he enables. If it is his will, he will make this path smooth for us. He will open the door for us as well. As we go there and have our service and trying to reach out to people over there. So give thanks in all circumstances. God has taken away something from us, taken away a rental hall from us. But it turns out to be a blessing that we can give thanks. So what have we learned from here? That we need to search for God's purpose in everything that happened in our lives. As we search for that purpose, we will understand how we can give thanks. Because our God is a great God. He loves us. He even sent His only Son to die on the cross for us. He brings us back to Him that we can communicate with Him again. And also He gave us hope. A hope that we can have eternal fellowship with Him. Our journey here is only temporal. We are only, if you think about it, I don't know what's the word for it. We're only a traveler in this life journey. We're only a traveler. Our final destination is in heaven. And we can praise God and sing and worship Him all day long in heaven. So, give thanks always because we can. And give thanksgiving is something, one thing. Give thanks always is really to turn our eyes to Jesus. Look through. If you focus on all your problems, you cannot give thanks. If you turn your eyes to Jesus, you can. And see how His hand is at work to bless us. And respond to the grace and love that God has showered on us. Thanksgiving. Giving is action. We need to have action to respond. Now, before we end the sermon, I'd like to invite Connie to come forward to have a little testimony on how God has blessed him in his journey here.
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Uncle Eden, for this opportunity. We just wanted to thank God for everything that He has been doing for us. And just wanted to share a little bit of almost three years in here in Australia. Thanks God for everything. First of all, we came here, we arrived to Australia on October of 2022, and for us was a challenge, actually. we didn't have, anything, no one, just both of us, and the first challenge was a house, because we didn't have a house, and we just have a part-time job, we were studying, and it was hard to find a place to stay. God was always there, and He said, "No, this is your place, this is what I gave to you, and the answer was there.
Well, actually, for me right now, one of the first miracles is like actually listening to Danny speak English, because he came to Australia without English at all, and now that you can hear him talking, for me that's also an answer from God. And as Danny was saying, when we came here, we were renting different places. We were staying with a few friends that we met here, and we were about to finish our time there. We only had 1 week in order to find a new place, and that was near Christmas. And we were praying, and I remember that time. It was very vivid for me because Danny was inspecting lots of houses. You know how inspections happen here? Plenty of people going there. For us, our situation was not the best. As Danny said, part-time workers only, studying the other half of the time. And we were not a big competence for the people here in Australia. So when we went to inspect all the entire day, Danny was in different houses. I went to this park, and actually the house that God allowed us to stay was not even in the inspection list. So I went to inspect another house, and I went there, and I was like, no, it was crowded, it was full of people, we're not going to get it. So I went to a park, and I remember calling Danny, and I was like, this is not going to happen, this is not possible. And I just stayed in the park bench, and I remember I started praying. And I was like, God, we're tired. We have exhausted all of our options, we have gone to inspections, there's nothing we can do. And I saw that there was a new inspection in this place. So I called Danny and I said, I'm going to go and check, and let's call it a day. It was a Saturday. And as soon as I went into the house, again, a massive line of people behind us, of course, Australians. And I was like, okay, let's go. Let's give it a chance. And I went into the house and I felt peace. And I knew that was the place. But of course, I did not know how it was going to happen. It literally had everything that we had been praying for. Of course, a second room to host people if they needed to, a kitchen that we loved cooking together. It even had a yard. And I was like, God, this really looks like the place. And so we contacted the real property manager, and she was like, yeah, just send us your information. And fast forward a couple of days later, we were accepted. And we moved in during Christmas time, and that was our first Christmas gift here in Australia from God. Throughout the whole year, of course, we had challenges. We were in a student visa. Then we moved on to a working visa later on, but it was like the COVID period of time, so it was only temporary. It wasn't easy. Every time that we were like, God, we cannot do this anymore, the answer would come in time. And we were just praying. I think, like, since we came here to Australia, we really experienced the God who is Jehovah Jireh, the provider. When we were in a country, we, of course, we knew about this God, but we never really experienced it, because as a married couple, we were constantly with our families. They were constantly around us. If we needed help, they would be there for us. But here is when we actually experience who is God for us. The provider, the one who's answering all of our prayers, and not because of the material things that we need, which he's always taking care of, but also like the peace that we've received. Danny knows me, of course. I was a very anxious person in Chile, trying to plan and trying to foresee the future. Like, what are the things that we can do? How can we save money? How can we prepare for the future? And here, God has taught us just to trust, to slow down a little bit more, to trust in his timing, not in ours. And one of the final things that we can tell you about, which lots of things have happened, and we have been talking to different church members and they have been aware of our process, but one of the latest things that we have encountered was our visa situation. We were on a student visa, and I was trying to apply to a skills assessment, which is like the visa that allows you to stay here with a PR. And we were working on that. It was taking a long time. And in the meantime, we were running out of time. So we had to apply to a student visa because Danny was already studying aged care. In the meantime, last year during November, I received a phone call from the agency that I was working at, which is a CRT agency. I was working in different schools. And they told me, there is a school that is a bilingual school, Spanish, English, and they need a teacher. And I was like, of course, let's give it a go. I will go to the interview, but of course, my visa conditions were not the best. So I'm not the perfect employee for them because I didn't have full-time job. And so we had the interview and they were like, don't worry, we're going to provide the sponsorship. And I couldn't believe that. And so the holidays passed. Fast forward to February when we started classes. We were like, everything is all right. We were still on the bridging visa, so we still had full-time rights. But as soon as our new student visa was approved, that was it. We weren't allowed to work full-time. That happened. The principal was very kind to us, and he was like, don't worry, we're going to figure out. That's fine. A few weeks passed, and we got the approved student visa, which limited us again. And again, our anxiety, our human side was like, God, what are we going to do with only part-time jobs? We cannot maintain a life here. It's very hard for us. And the following day, I received an email and a phone call from the real estate property that we are currently on. And they sent us an email because there is a construction happening next door. And the construction company, they asked to move us because there is a lot of disruption in the construction. And so in the email, they stated that they will be covering for 6 months the rent and that they will be relocating us. And so that was, for me, an answer from God because I was concerned about the money. And God was like, don't worry, I have control over everything. He is the God of the money. He is the God of everything. Sometimes our minds and our bodies get anxious, but he had an instant answer for us. And right now we're in the process where we don't have to pay rent for 6 months. And after that happened, we were like, okay, that was the answer. We don't have to worry. The visa can wait. It's not a problem. And after, maybe 2 more weeks, we got the sponsorship approved. And so that was another answer, and God was telling us to trust him again. And then something else happened. I feel like this year, 2025, has been the fulfillment of seeing God's promises in our lives. Like, we have worked hard. We have, of course, the human part is like always trying to work for the future. But lots of times when we have been here, we have prayed, like, God, is actually good to stay here or to go back to Chile. And every time that we have prayed for that, God has given us words of peace to just remain a little bit more, just to be patient, just to wait on him. And everything has happened in his perfect timing because just a few weeks ago, we also found out that we are expecting right now. Yeah. I think the only thing that we wanted to share with you, because it's Thanksgiving, is trust in the Lord always. And while we were prepping this yesterday, there was a word that was coming to our lives that actually has stayed there in our bedroom for a long time. And that is Matthew 6:26, because sometimes we write on post-it notes just to remember the word of God. And we have had it there in the room for a long time. And it says, look at the birds. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? So that has been a reminder for us to put our trust in God, not in what is happening now, not in the visa situation, not in what the country might say, but what God has to say about us and what God has planned for our lives. We just wanted to thank God for everything he has done in us. Thank you.
Thanks, Connie and Daniel. I think it's a great testimony about how God's working in their lives and also how they rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks to God in all circumstances. Let's bow and pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your words. Thank you for your encouragement. Lord, as we hear from Connie and Daniel's testimony, we know that you are a good God and you love us and you walk with us through highs and lows of our lives. And Lord, help us to really hold on to you as we navigate this journey of life. Help us to hold on to you always and cultivate that heart that always rejoice. Cultivate a heart, a prayerful heart, a heart that pray all the time. Likes to pray to talk to you, to listen to you. And cultivate a heart that gives thanks in all situations. And may all the honor and glory be to you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.